Hello and a big warm welcome to everyone. My name is Simon Pittman and I will be your host for this In Cosmetics podcast panel discussion brought to you by In Cosmetics Connect on the growing importance of e-commerce to the beauty and personal care business. This is part of a series of podcasts that will look at e-commerce and how it is helping to reshape the way beauty products are both marketed and sold. We should also be touching on how the COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated this trend. Today, we have assembled some of the leading industry experts to share their views on this topic, how this is impacting consumer habits, and the different types of opportunities that are arising as a result. So next, I'd like to introduce you to our panel. And first off, we have Euromonitor International Research Analyst, Amy Rowlinson, who will be sharing intelligence about how e-commerce has continued to evolve and how this is impacting the business. Hi, Amy, and a big welcome to you.
Hi.
Thanks. Next, we have Sophia Marinho de Lemos, who is the Digital Engagement Director at Oriflame Cosmetics. Sophia will be sharing insights the company has noted in recent months. A big hello to you, Sophia.
Hi, Simon. Great to be here.
Thank you. And we're also privileged to include Will King, who is the founder of King of Shaves. He will be letting us in on subscription models and the impact of COVID-19 on e-commerce platforms.
Good to chat to you, Simon.
And to you, Will. Thanks very much. So we will proceed by asking a set of questions that targets each of our panelists' expertise. But I might add that you are all welcome to chip in with your thoughts in response to any of the other panelists' questions. So here goes for the first round of questions, which I will give to our market research analyst, Amy. So, Amy, the first question for you is, what's behind consumers' increasing interest in going the e-commerce route to make beauty and personal care purchases?
So prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, e-commerce was the fourth largest channel for beauty and personal care distribution globally in terms of sales. And it was also the fastest growing channel. And this growth is largely derived from the beauty side, with the percentage of skincare sales through e-commerce being as high as 17% globally in 2019. On the other hand, personal care products have much lower e-commerce penetration than beauty, with possible future opportunity stemming from either retail or brand innovation. One of the biggest factors in terms of growth in e-commerce is China, with the country beauty and personal care sales through online now being as high as 30% in 2019. Growth is also stimulated from the increase in the number of direct-to-consumer brands and digital native brands, as well as a rise in influencer culture and innovations in technology. And also, the increasingly busy lives of consumers also plays into this, as this demands convenience. However, while e-commerce continues to erode store-based retailing, especially during the current pandemic, store-based retailing still remains the preferred channel for many consumers, and that includes Gen Z. So as a result of this, an omni-channel approach is often considered the most effective. So as recovery from the pandemic begins to take place, people must not only focus on the online method, but also overcome difficulties in terms of health concerns and reduce footfall from social distancing measures, and to actually reinvent themselves to be places of experience, discovery, and curation in store.
Great. Okay, so another question for you, Amy, is I'd like to know how much are tech developments helping to drive the growth in e-commerce?
Yeah, these are actually a big driving force in e-commerce. So through Euromonitor's beauty survey, what we see is that consumers are increasingly researching their products online before they make purchases. and as developments in technology can ensure that consumers have all the information that they need in one place, which is increasingly important for those that are time poor. And examples of brands that are doing this are Cult Beauty, who utilise blockchain into their supply chain in the UK in late 2019. And they use this to verify claims from the brands that they stock, such as vegan and recyclable claims. And this offers conscious consumers a level of trust in an industry which is rife with greenwashing. And technology also allows for the customization, such as that provided by La Roche-Posay's Spot Scan app, which was launched in 2019 across quite a few markets and utilizes AI. And this offers consumers recommendation and advice that really rivals that of in-store consultations. It can also overcome limitations, technology in online purchases of products such as color cosmetics. So things like AI, AR, and VR technologies have all been implemented for color matching, which would normally act as a barrier to e-commerce for this particular category. And these initiatives will be especially important to brands such as La Roche-Posay, who have a strong in-store presence, with this being especially true in the aftermath of COVID-19, where in-store footfall is likely to remain low for some time.
Great. Okay, so time for another question. Do you think the spike in e-commerce caused by the COVID-19 pandemic will be sustained even after the lockdowns are over? Do you think this is part of a long-term trend and it's moved it far forward at a faster rate?
Yeah, I think so. E-commerce definitely offers a glimmer of hope for beauty during this whole pandemic. However, it's key to remember that e-commerce only actually represents 11% of global sales in 2019. So it's difficult for this to fully cushion the blow of the store closures which are happening across so many markets. Direct consumer brands and those with strong online presence have for the most part been insulated from these effects, in terms of demand at least. So for example, Birchbox in France saw a boost in sales during the lockdown with double the amount of traffic to the website, as well as a 40% increase in the average basket cost. And the pandemic is likely to see great developments in online business strategies as well. So this has already happened for many companies, including Unilever, who in Spain have started delivering their products through delivery. And these products reach the door of consumers within 30 minutes. So therefore, it's likely to result in a long-term shift as consumers will increasingly begin to expect this level of convenience and immediacy. As well as that, we have Euromonitor's Voice of the Industry survey, which we fielded in April this year, and that surveyed close to 5,000 professionals across multiple industries and geographies. And one thing that found was that over 40% of respondents from these companies said they are going to invest in e-commerce in the future to reduce the risk of something of this kind if anything happens again to disrupt business. And as well as this, over 30% of respondents expected the shift online to be permanent.
Great. Well, thank you so much for those insights. Very interesting, Amy. Thanks. So now let's turn our attention to a company that pins a significant amount of its business model to e-commerce by putting some questions to Sophia from Oriflam. Sophia, the first question I'd like to direct to you is, how has the evolution of e-commerce platforms impacted the Oriflam business model?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that the evolution of e-commerce has changed our business model per se, but what I would say is that online shopping has certainly changed the way in which our brand partners carry out their businesses. So I'm not sure if all your listeners, Simon, will be familiar with Oriflame's business model, so I'll just give a brief intro. Oriflame, we're a Swedish beauty, wellness and skincare brand, and we sell via a network of over 3 million brand partners in sort of 60 plus markets worldwide, and we've been around for about 50 years. So some people might be more familiar with the term direct selling. We call this social selling, but that's the sort of ecosystem in which we operate. So that's what I'm referring to when I talk about our business model. I'm talking about social selling and our brand partners promoting our products, either online or offline. So so when we talk about this, I think it's good to think that, you know, today 96% of our orders are placed online, and it's about, I think, 30% go through the Oriflame app, which is our online shopping app. So what we've seen is this big shift in preference towards digital, and this has been going on for a while. And from our side, what this means is, of course, that we have to ensure that our brand partners and their customers have really strong digital platforms in their arsenal. So one example is we have something called the Personal Beauty Store. So it's an e-commerce platform that we offer to our brand partners, and it offers them the same commissions and benefit structure that they have offline. So at Oriflame, we handle checkout, fulfillment, distribution, customer services, all that bit. And they focus on promoting the products and the business opportunity. And of course, then we have to create digital tools to support them in doing that. So, you know, things like a social media management tool, which gives them access to a library of relevant imagery, high-level data, planning functionalities, all that. And business tools like our very popular business app that we have. So that helps them monitor their progress in a digital way, you know, very much on their mobile phones. It's always accessible. And of course, you know, now, as a result of pandemic, these tools have been super crucial in supporting our brand partners as they've had to shift their businesses almost entirely online. So again, our business model, I would say it's not changed necessarily. It's still, you know, at its core what it's sort of always been. But the way in which it's conducted is, of course, much more e-commerce focused now.
Okay, great. So the next question is new e-commerce technology playing a part in the growth of digital for Oriflame? And if so, how?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think Amy's given us a really good introduction to this with her answers to your questions, because I think, you know, beauty and tech have had something, if I can use this, sort of a bit of a renaissance recently. And I think all beauty companies have had to really jump on these new trends that have emerged relatively quickly. And of course, with COVID-19 become integral to e-commerce success. So I'm very proud of how at Oriflame we've continued to integrate technology into our digital experience. And again, Amy touched on this, but, you know, augmented reality is something we've been working with for a while. We have a scanning functionality, for example, in our catalog, which allows people to virtually try on products by scanning a page in it. So that's really good for, you know, the offline sales and for our brand partners that are more comfortable taking those sales face to face. But of course, right now, when everyone's in lockdown or having limited social interaction, we also have another solution, which is our AR app called Makeup Wizard. It's a virtual try-on app, and you can, you know, test out our makeup, create and share looks. And what I'd say about this kind of technology is that I think previously it's been a bit, I don't know if Amy agrees with me here, but I think it's been a bit fun. It's been playful and it's been a bit of a nice to have. But now, of course, that people can't go into stores or they can't, in our world, meet their brand partners face to face, this kind of non-touch try-on tech is something of a must. And the fact that we kind of have had this in our arsenal already is really helping us. And Amy touched on the La Roche-Posay example of, I think she called it the Spot Scan app, but we have a similar solution called the Skin Expert app, which, you know, analyzes your skin health and it recognizes key signs of aging or damage and then recommends the right skincare routine and products for you. And this is, you know, a great tool for our brand partners to use when they're supporting their customers finding the right products. And again, I kind of echo what Amy touched on, but, you know, video technology, offering one-to-one consultations virtually, all this kind of video technology as well has become a bit of a must in our e-commerce arsenal, to be honest. And I think we see very much a shift from, you know, uploaded video content that's a bit more static to now live streaming, which entertains and educates and inspires, that our brand partners are definitely using to help them build communities, but also to sell online. And then, of course, you know, AI and personalization and all of that, of course, plays a crucial role as well.
Brilliant. Okay, so one other question. How do you see e-commerce evolving for the company in the future, Sophia?
What I would say is that the outbreak of COVID-19 has definitely accelerated trends. that I think we already saw in our Chinese market, or in China just generally. We saw them developing, in particular in live streaming and social commerce. They've kind of been bubbling away in the background. But, you know, whereas in China, WeChat and Weibo have already integrated social and commerce features, we've lagged a bit in Western Europe and in the rest of the world, to be honest. I mean, Instagram's only just launched a checkout function, and that's only live in the US. So I think this trend that's coming and been bubbling in China will only accelerate in the rest of the world. So I think in the future, we're going to see much more of a preference for native checkout across the board. So in our world, that means our brand partners, who are very, very strong at building their personal brands on social platforms, we'll see a bit of a shift from them sending traffic to our personal beauty stores, that, you know, our e-commerce solution that we offer them, but rather they'll take, they'll sort of own or hold the checkout process within social media platforms. And of course, that means for us that we need to be able to support them with a checkout that we power to help them do this. And again, the live streaming trend that's only been getting bigger and bigger in China, I think we'll see much more of in our world. And we've seen this in COVID-19. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I go onto Instagram at 7 p.m. every night, I mean, everyone's live, it seems. Every brand, every influencer. So I think this is only going to accelerate, but what we'll see is much more, you know, selling directly through live video. So this shopping trend that's been very popular in China, I think we'll see a lot more in our markets as well, that you'll just natively check out from live streaming. And, you know, our world, for the brand, our brand partners, we're going to have to help them upgrade their content to be more experiential, to, you know, merge retail and entertainment in a way that it feels authentic and relevant to now. And I think, you know, again, these digital consultations, virtual try-on technologies, all of that will become more and more integrated into the consumer journey. And I think the WGSN beauty team said something, maybe it was on their podcast, they talked about designing for distance or design for distancing. And I think, you know, Oriflame, we will very much see that. And I think all beauty brands will, that we have to take our technologies and optimize them to help our brand partners, basically to be able to promote and sell it at a distance. So I think, yeah, this is very much the way we'll be moving.
Great, that's very interesting. Thanks, Sophia. So now I'm going to move on to a few questions for Will and try and find out what he has experienced in the e-commerce world with King of Shaves. So Will, my first question to you, what are the primary changes you have seen in e-commerce in the past few years, and what is driving this?
Hi, Simon. So look, I think everybody will know in the past 10 years or so, as direct-to-consumer category has developed online, in the shaving space, it used to be Gillette and Nivea for men, King of Shaves as a number three. We had Dollar Shave launch in 2011, followed by Harry's in 2014, and then an absolute slew of others, all attempting to do the direct-to-consumer razor and blade subscription model. Now, that's interestingly, I think, for listeners, a lot of people will be surprised to know that a lot of those platforms are ex-growth. A lot of them have diversified into selling products, for example, shampoo, body washes, deodorants, condoms, male erectile dysfunction pills, loads and loads and loads of things to upweight the shopping basket. And until coronavirus hit, there was quite a lot of skepticism, with the exception of Dollar, that achieved the exit to Unilever in 2016, what was going to happen, because it's such a loss-making space. You know, those companies between them raised $700 million to be able to finance that growth. So the elephant in the room continues to remain to be Gillette, and Gillette's actually in growth. It's P&G are putting a lot of marketing dollars behind it. And obviously, we've had, in the last few months, coronavirus come along. A lot of people locked down at home. King of Shaves sales, we're running about 70% of pre-pandemic trend, but now going up quite sharply as the UK is going back to work. But going forwards, I mean, shaving, it's very much an everyday basics category for guys. It's not Kardashian beauty, it's not skincare, it's not lipstick, it's not visible things. You either have a great shave and, you know, go to work, or you don't shave. But the interesting opportunities going out is we've seen a big shift now from our .com and online and bricks and mortar retailers to Amazon. So Amazon, because so many people are shopping Amazon, we're seeing our numbers, they'll pretty much be up 100% year on year. And a lot of that has kicked in over the past 2 months.
Okay. So, you've told me about the subscriptions model and that everybody's doing it now, so to speak. How do you stand out in that area? How do you differentiate yourself? How do you add value?
Yeah, no, exactly. So everybody was in this whole sub space, yeah, including us. We launched our sub in 2012 for King of Shaves after seeing what Mike Dubin had done at Dollar Shave. And at the time, retailers were very resistive to that, so they weren't that happy. We were going direct to consumer and sort of threatened to delist some of our products if we treated the consumer as our own, not the retailer as our customer. But over the past, I think, 3 to 4 years, all of the sub-businesses, and this is pretty much every D2C brand on the planet, loses money or has had to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to finance the very expensive problem of getting products, physical product, into consumers' hands. Okay, it's much more commercially relevant and profitable to sell via a retailer, a Boots, a Target, a Walmart, than it is to do the whole D2C thing with the costs attendant in that. So what we've done at King of Shaves is we backed away from subscriptions about 6 months ago. We now offer what are called eco plans off our shave.com website, which are basically bulk deliveries where you get between a 25 to a 40% discount. And then you can pay for those over 1 to 6 months using a partner like Splitit. So less white vans on the road, less monthly deliveries, bigger shopping baskets, let's say £50 to £80 on average. But that then takes the customer out of the market for a year, which is good for us. And we're obviously then delivering great value to them. So I think in the coming months and years, there'll be an evolution around D2C. But the costs of achieving it for FMCG brands, it's very expensive, Simon. Yeah, it's extraordinarily costly, hence so many companies having had to raise tens of millions of dollars of VC money, and none of them profitable. I think Cornerstone today has lost £11 million in the UK trying to scale its business, and it just doesn't look sustainable to me. Makeup brands, beauty brands may be different because the profit margins, I think, are higher. And where you've had somebody like Marcia Kilgore do Beauty Pie as a membership model, I think that she's been very clever in doing that, where you're buying at factory prices and she's making her margin on the membership she charges you.
Great. Okay, so a final question for you, Will. Have you noticed a spike in e-commerce business during the pandemic? And has this helped counterbalance other sales channels?
Yeah, so look, obviously there's been a spike. It's been pretty substantial, mainly, as I said earlier in the call, driven around the growth off Amazon. I mean, we were doing, we went onto Amazon 4 years ago with King of Shaves, quite nervy and neutral about it. But that business is now a seven-figure business, and that's a pretty big business now that you've achieved from scratch in a very, you know, boring, stagnant category like men's shaving. Retailers like Boots and Superdrug have obviously suffered from not having store traffic. We've seen growth from their online platforms, but they've struggled with out-of-stocks issues. And then the retailers, the grocers like Sainsbury's, Morrisons, Waitrose, Asda, etc., pretty heavily up. Ocado very up until they kept going out of stock. Because of their DC distribution issues. So it hasn't offset it because, as I said earlier in the call, our sales are running, when we look at the last 3 months versus, let's say, the 3 months this time last year, we're running about 70% of volume. But there's a number of factors for that, promotions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it hasn't offset it, but it's in substantial growth. And we've always taken a I think, an omni-channel approach to selling product. We just want people to be able to buy it where and when it's most convenient to them. And I think that strategy is a good and sensible one to keep carrying on.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks for that, Will. So that brings our podcast recording to an end. On that note, I'd like to thank our panelists, Amy, Sophia, and Will, for their incredible insights today. And to you, our listeners, for tuning into this podcast brought to you by InCosmetics Connect. Thank you very much, everybody, and goodbye.